Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
Oh, I'm positive Chuck Bockler. How's everyone doing?
Hope you're doing great out there. In case you didn't know, we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
We're bringing Clippers news 5 days a week.
7 a.m. We hope your Monday's starting out well, because it might be a little stressful at night, but we're going to get to all that.
That's right. Before we get into our game preview, we're going to do a recap of that monstrous Clippers 132-106 win over the Jazz.
Decisive. Much needed.
Yes. Spicy dub. We're going to talk about what we liked from that one. Paul George was incredible, as well as a couple things we didn't like. Honestly, not a whole lot to nitpick in this one.
Yeah.
And then, as I alluded to, we are going to be getting into a Game 4 preview. We'll talk about what we need to do well, as well as what could go wrong. Give you a couple of key matchups to take a look at. And then, in Segment 3, every single Monday, we bring you the Luke Kennard Progress Report, and we're happy to report that there's some good info in there.
Yes, absolutely. It's such a surprise, but he's helping the Clips.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love it?
And then in Shavings, also, the Clippers team is trying to monetize a fan movement.
I don't think trying to. They firmly corrupted the Batum Battalion movement.
So way to go, them. Let's go, millionaires. All right, so all that and more coming up right about now, but first, got to let you know, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to a wonderful recap of the Clippers 132-106 win over the Jazz on Saturday night. This one felt, I think cathartic is a fair word for this one, right?
Yeah, it's so funny because even with a pretty decisive lead going into the fourth quarter, I was still very tense this entire game.
Oh, I was worried that even after the last whistle, they were going to say, whoa, 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 we got to replay the whole game.
We've got to wave off the last 20 made field goals.
Yeah. Let's get into what we liked in this one. There was a lot of good, like, so many things kind of felt like they came together to really help the Clippers that we're going to talk about more in the Game 4 preview.
We got to talk, though, about, like, I think the biggest single offensive change, which was just Paul George getting really aggressive early. He had 30 in this one. He took 24 field goal attempts, which is his most.
Thankfully.
Which is his most throughout the entire playoffs. The efficiency
by
was,
like, nine.
Yeah.
Something insane.
No, I believe nine. I think he might have taken 20 in one of the games in the Dallas series. And the thing is with this, like, he was extremely efficient in this game, but I think even if the efficiency isn't quite there, I would still prefer, man, to have him getting the shots up.
Of course. I don't think anyone is like, well, if he's not shooting, he should be passing, because we've seen his turnovers, and Paul George should be taking 10 threes. Him and Kawhi should be combining for the most shots on the team. No one else other than Kawhi and PG took double-digit attempts.
Yeah.
Which I'm so fine with.
And his scoring, you know, is naturally going to open up his passing.
Yep.
For sure. If they're going to throw double bodies at him, it makes it a little bit easier on him to make the read. So
yeah,
that was huge. Kawhi was massive in this one. He had 34, 12, and 5. Shout out Robert Flom on Twitter if you're not following Rich Homie.
Yes,
Flom, great Clippers Twitter follow. He talked about how in sort of this stage of Kawhi's career, you can really tell, like, where he's at physically, as well as, like, from a quote-unquote effort standpoint when you look at his boards numbers.
Oh,
because he was snagging boards all over the place, really fighting for him in this game. And I think we talked about on this podcast sort of, like, the bounce with Kawhi.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes,
dude,
you know,
he was just dunking again in this game.
Yeah, so physically sometimes he can look like a different player, which, you know, makes sense. He's managing ongoing injury stuff, and he also has to shoulder a lot of, you know.
Yeah.
He has to shoulder a lot on both ends of the floor.
For sure.
Which isn't the case for a lot of number ones on a team.
Getting spicy.
It's true.
No, I totally agree. And his fourth quarter scoring has been absurd this whole series.
Yeah, as has PG's. Those have been his best quarters all series.
Kawhi hasn't missed a field goal in the fourth quarter.
That's insane.
He was 5 for 5 in game 3 and had 12 points in the final frame. Kawhi is putting teams away by himself with his efficiency.
And this, I mean, like, he played, what, half the fourth, maybe?
Yeah. Well, that was, okay, another great thing about this game, the fact that Kawhi played 37, Paul George played 30, just under 38, but they were able to kind of rest sometimes. It was like, first quarter, PG got some rest. There was really kind of wonky lineup, I think, the end of the third. But I'm happy they weren't over that 40-minute mark.
Yeah,
I know it's maybe arbitrary, but any rest the Clips can get helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And tying into that rest is just, this was a great game for our role players. Reggie Jackson was especially huge in
this
one.
He's our third best player now. Just this, so this playoffs also, this is the best stretch of Reggie Jackson's career.
So,
and we are so lucky that it's happening right now.
I agree, and he's been huge, and offensively for sure. I still don't want to, like, I don't want to get into a nitpicky thing of, like, who is, you know, the pecking order.
We just needed all of
the pecking order of 1, 2, and 3. He's been super needed.
Yeah.
You know, Morris, though, does bring a physicality defensively that,
right.
You know, that when he's not making shots, he can be more of a plus player on the floor
for sure.
At times than Reggie Jackson. But, you know, I don't want to nitpick Reggie. He's been so huge in this. I was actually talking to Justin Russo at halftime, and he was saying, you know, we can't throw away a good Reggie game like this.
You can't, man. You really cannot, like, at all. Him and Batum both combined for 17 points. Nick Batum continues to deserve at least 35 minutes a game, and we need him to play 35.
He has to play 35 minutes a game. You know, as long as he's physically able to, it does get difficult.
Very good point.
It does get difficult, you know, to stay in front of Mitchell when you have to guard him defensively.
Yes.
But luckily, Mann can sort of take off some of those responsibilities at times.
So that was a random thing. So Ty Lue seems to have hopefully figured out the rotations. There was no Rondo or Boogie in game 3.
Yeah.
Everyone was excited about that.
Yeah.
He was trying to play Luke Kennard when Mitchell wasn't out there, which is good.
Very good.
And then after Terrence Mann was quite literally described as being out of the rotation by Ty Lue,
he said right now. He didn't say indefinitely.
Okay, right. He said right now, which you would assume is 48 hours later, maybe. 22 minutes in game 3. LA Clippers film, Justin Wilson has said this before, Terrence Mann just gets shit done. Things happen when Terrence Mann is out there. And we need his we need him buzzing around, making things weird for the bigs. Like, we need his power on the boards. It's just like, I love the adjustment.
Yeah, absolutely. You alluded to a wonky lineup too at that third quarter, which was the three guard lineup.
Yeah, you were worried. You were texting me. You're like, I do not like that.
Which it wasn't really that good. And then they made a substitution for Batum for Zoo, and it kind of stabilized it. Zoo kind of struggled offensively,
right.
But defensively he was still good. Those Favor minutes, the Derek Favors
minutes. We do not respect him in the post.
Yeah,
those
are going to be the minutes to continue to watch for the rest of this series. It's going to be, you know, how long can they stand to rest Rudy Gobert if the Clippers have now figured out how to get the switch on the man they want and dominate in the paint.
And it's also not even switch. It's just like, we're just going to go straight at you, Derek
Favors. Yes, yeah,
like,
for sure.
Fine, dude.
For
like,
sure.
We have to go against Gobert usually. This is much easier. It's a much easier step down. Bev played 16 minutes. Fairly effective.
Yeah.
Like, his point of attack defense was there. We're going to talk about into this kind of what we didn't like, but, like, Patrick Beverley helps with this idea that you need to really trap Donovan Mitchell, which I don't think you do. Because that's where we kind of...
They just are a team that already takes so many threes.
Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah. I feel like leaving somebody open, I don't know, it just seems hard to recover.
Exactly. We dealt with Gobert well in this one.
Yeah,
like, he's gonna affect shots no matter what.
Definitely.
Obviously. But the Clippers were actually aggressive on him and forcing him to make these plays. There was a couple early fouls that he got that I was like, that's gonna happen. And this interesting, so, like, the Jazz had a mismatch when the Clippers were going small every time when Gobert's down low.
Yeah, of course.
But they weren't really doing anything with it early in the game. Which was odd.
I think the most they went to it was when they started to mount a comeback in that third.
And the Clippers were kind of able to, like, just disrupt. Once they started trying to do it, the Clippers were like, well, now, like, a little too late. They were a little more aggressive with trying to disrupt those passes and getting steals, which was great to see.
Absolutely. So what didn't we like from this game?
So this is also kind of a bit of a game, you know, a bit of a game for a preview, but there's some interesting defensive lapses that happened early.
The Joe Ingles thing is inexcusable.
Dude, we cannot give Joe Ingles open looks.
Which they did figure that out later, but in the first half, he had like 14 points or something.
Yes. We're helping off of shooters too much. Kawhi's a bit guilty of this, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. But, I mean, all in all, like, it was really Joe Ingles that we were kind of helping too much off of, which is fine for the most part. You know, I mean, Bojan went 1 of 5.
Yeah, he did not have a good game.
But it's really crazy. They still shot 43% from three.
I know. I don't think they're going to cool down.
Right. In part because we helped too much. But that's a kind of a greater theme for game four. And then really the only other thing I'm kind of looking at is Mook's shooting. 0 of 2 from deep on Saturday. Shot 11% in game two. Is this fatigue?
Well, I mean, in this game, I don't think that that's enough attempts for really any sort of legitimate sample size.
But do you think that's because of fatigue, I guess? That's kind of what I'm other wondering.
I mean, I don't know. He was 3 of 3 from everywhere else. So,
right, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. He's had his ups and downs. And, I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast how it's either like 50% plus or, you know, damn, he's going 0 for sometimes, yeah, from 3. So, you know, it is what it is. Make or miss league, as they say.
You're damn straight. We're going to talk about that more in the next segment. But, hey, the series is going at least 5. Clippers had to win, and what'd they do?
Yeah, they put it away.
They freaking won in convincing fashion. So convincing that maybe it should really be, you know, 1.5 games to 1.5 games in this series.
I think, yeah, I think they should be awarded half a point in that.
Absolutely. Coming up, we're going to be previewing game 4. But first, we got to give a shout out to Indeed. If you're listening to this and you're the hiring expert for your company, you probably need help making your short list of quality candidates. That's just difficult to do. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet your must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video reviews in your Indeed dashboard. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately, and Indeed Skills Tests that on average reduce hiring time by 27%. You can make your own skills tests, maybe do a questionnaire of like, who's your favorite Clipper? There's some wrong answers there for sure. You can choose more than 130 skills tests or add your own, and then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet them. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 job credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Now, Will, talk to me about some protein bars.
All right, look, you hear us talk about it all the time, but Built Bar truly is the best tasting protein bar on the market. And the new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors for those with allergies. The 6 new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The bars are great. They're covered in 100% chocolate, so they're soft and easy to chew, which is very important. You want your protein bar to work for you, not the other way around. But Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet. How about a little breakdown for you? This is for the flavor coconut almond. Comes with 18 grams of protein, only 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, wow, and 5 grams net carbs.
What?
It's great. And right now, if you want to get in, we have a very special offer for our listeners. For a very limited time, you can get a free cooler with purchase. Great for summer, but this is only going to last for a limited time. So you're going to want to get on this. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, welcome to the Game 4 preview. Hope everyone's fired up.
Yes.
If you're going to the game, be fired up. The crowd was pretty great at Game 3, you were saying.
Yes.
You were there in the building.
Yeah, I was a little bit nervous, but the fans really showed out. I mean, it's a little bit easier when you're having kind of a dominating win.
Oh, yeah.
But no, the energy was great from the crowd. Not as many opposing fans as I personally saw in the Dallas series.
Right.
So I think that's kind of nice. I was in the press box, though, and it seemed like most of the Jazz fans were like in that 300 section.
For sure.
Kind of butted up against the press box, which was a little interesting. So, yeah, let's keep it going for the home team. Let's tie this thing up.
Let's tie it up again. Why not? All right, getting into what we need to do well. William Updike, what do we need to do well in this series? Excuse me, this game specifically.
We got to get to the paint early and often.
Let's do it.
We need to just continue to be aggressive in that aspect. We outscored the Jazz 44-32 in the paint in game 3.
Quinn Snyder's got to be furious about that.
Absolutely. I mean, collapsing that Jazz defense opens up everything for the Clippers. And I talked about this a little bit in the last segment, but this is especially important in the Favors minutes. There should be no hesitancy going at him inside.
Yep.
At one point in that first half, I believe it was late in the second quarter, Kawhi blew by Clarkson, had a pretty clear shot at the rim with Favors in front of him, and he opted to stop and pass out of it.
Just go for it.
And I think you just got to go for it, man. And you kind of live with the result on some of those.
Absolutely. Another thing kind of mentioning on Kawhi, ease up on this help defense.
Yes.
Weirdly enough, Kawhi was sometimes doing this a little too much. Came off helping his man, which is a little weird. Let Donovan score a bunch. We're also, injuries are horrible, and they continue to be a part of our daily NBA fandom life.
Yeah.
Which is a giant pain in the ass. Donovan, like, we did a good job in game three of being like, you're guarding Donovan Mitchell right now. This is who you're
guarding. I mean, the first quarter was the best the Clippers have been on him.
Absolutely. He was scoreless. So let's stay home on guys like, you know, on guys like Bojan and stuff like that. I messed up that pronunciation in an earlier episode, so I apologize, Jazz fans. And let's let Clarkson, like, let's make these guys have to hit these insanely difficult shots that they have been hitting.
Yes.
Let's make that the look, right? Let's not give Joe Ingles these open looks. Let's stay home on our guys.
Definitely. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. And also defensively, we just got to keep that physicality
up.
Dude,
it was so good in game three.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, we can see the Clippers kind of let their foot off the gas sometimes.
Right.
In these scenarios. And I think just keeping that physicality defensively helps you weather some of those punches. Because the Jazz are going to, like, dude, they just take so many threes. They're going to throw a wild swing at you where they could have a little 9-point swing.
Donovan
really
Mitchell
quickly.
Had like his own, what, like 8 or 9 point run in the third or something. He really started to heat up.
Yeah.
You just got to be able to weather it.
Yeah, 100%.
What could go wrong in this one?
So I think we got a really great game out of our role players.
Yeah.
In that game three, it was kind of a best case scenario for some of our guys. Like we said, Reggie was absurdly efficient. He was 5 of 6 from three. Really, the Jazz seemed flummoxed. They didn't really know what
to do
with
him. No
one
knows what to do with
Reggie. He had 17 points, 3 assists, and a steal. But the biggest thing is he had 0 turnovers.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the most nervous part of the game was when the Clippers had a couple of turnovers there.
We had 2 in the first half, and then I think 7 in the second half.
Yeah.
So it was a little like, okay, like obviously 2 is unsustainable.
Yeah.
But 7, you're kind of...
Definitely. And Batum was hitting from outside. Yeah. He continues to stabilize some of these units with the second... Like, it doesn't matter if he's with the starters or sometimes he gets thrown in to stabilize, like, the second unit when we have one of Kawhi or Paul George resting.
Just makes smart plays. Knows what to do. Knows where to be with any lineup he's at. God damn it, Nick Batum is so good.
Yeah. He's really, really good. What else could go wrong?
This is a make or miss league.
Yep.
And sometimes the Clippers miss. The Jazz, in game three, still shot absurdly well. They shot 43% from three.
Yeah.
We still happen to shoot 54%, which is absurd. And like the Clippers offense hasn't been the problem.
They've been generating good looks.
Fundamentally,
They've been generating good looks. Kawhi is getting to the spots where he's most comfortable.
Yes.
You know, we've seen Paul George... You know, still driving in the paint. He wasn't super effective in game one or two in terms of scoring there, but he was able to get to the line quite a bit.
Yes, absolutely. Paul George needs to take 10 threes again.
Yeah.
100%. And Kawhi said it best after game three. He said, the biggest thing is we made shots tonight. Just got to make some shots game four.
Yes.
Take this thing to 6 games at least.
And then going to a make or miss league, we cannot just give Joe Ingles open threes.
No, I would prefer it if we didn't do that.
Yeah.
Biggest key matchup in this one. Well, let's talk about the Jordan Clarkson thing first, actually.
Yes. So he was assessed a flagrant for that slap, the open-handed slap.
He treated Zubac like he was a freaking tetherball.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah, but this wasn't an isolated incident. He was getting kind of chippy and physical with players. He and Terrence Mann had an exchange
of words
at one point.
Paul George got like a random little elbow from him too. It's like, I haven't watched a lot of Jordan Clarkson, but he's not this guy, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. He's definitely like kind of working that agitator role.
Which
you
is
know,
like,
Joe,
dude,
Joe Ingles
the
does the same
scorer.
Thing too.
Like, let Joe Ingles do it. Clarkson, you're the bench scorer who's been killing us.
Yeah.
Just focus on that.
He's been really efficient in this series.
It helps the Clippers more when he does stuff like this.
Yeah.
It absolutely does.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, dude, Jordan Clarkson, if you're thinking about things other than scoring, that's helping the Clippers.
Yeah.
Just hope he keeps it clean.
Yes.
You know, we don't want anything weird to happen. And then the biggest matchup, we've talked about the defense, we've talked about all this other stuff. Paul George versus momentum. This is, if Paul George puts together two of these fantastic games, and yet another, look, I know technically game three wasn't a quote-unquote must-win game or an elimination game for the Clippers.
Yes, it was.
But we need it. No, it absolutely was. But, and it won't count for those stats, which is a shame.
Going down 3-0, you're done.
It's a death sentence. Can he put these two great games together? You know, it's a bit selfish as fans to just be like, hey, 48 hours, do the same shit again. But
you gotta expect,
we need this.
You got to expect an adjustment from the Jazz as well, defensively, to sort of counter some of that.
Right.
So, yeah, he's just going to have to work through whatever that is.
Get those damn shots up.
But our offensive game plan still has to prioritize getting him shots, especially early. And, you know, even if they're not falling, he's still got to have, 20 plus field goal attempts.
Absolutely. And there's a part of him, too, where don't pass out. Don't pass the ball out. Even if it's maybe a tough jumper, dude, just take it. Like, we need to see the decisiveness. Because
yes.
Sometimes that's what we lose. Kawhi was being so deliberate with getting to his spots in game three, and it obviously worked great for the Clippers.
Yeah, 100%.
And so Paul George, it's like, I'm fine if he's trigger happy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally okay with it. What's your prediction for game four?
This, to me, is still a must win. So I'm thinking Clippers back against the wall. We've seen things trending in the right direction. I think we'll continue to see more of Mann and Batum. And I think we'll put this one away.
I'm hoping Ty Lue keeps those rotations tight. I think he's got that 9-man rotation figured out. I don't want to see Rondo. I don't want to see Boogie. I want to see Kawhi and PG combined for 60. I'm excited. It's going to be a good time. I think the Clippers take this one. And I think 0-2 Kawhi becomes firmly a very real NBA meme now.
Yeah.
Which, I love it. Coming up, we're going to be briefing you on Ohio's finest, the Luke Kennard progress report, and then, of course, just talking about how the LA Clippers have destroyed the Batum Battalion movement. No, they haven't.
They haven't destroyed it.
It's actually great for the movement.
Yeah.
But first, we got to give a shout out to BetOnline. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, psych, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They got scores, they got odds, they got news. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. They'll give you half of what you put up. Use promo code LOCKEDON, that's all capital letters, one word, LOCKEDON, for your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Your online sportsbook experts.
All right, so we're back with the Luke Kennard progress report and some shavings for you. I mean, let's talk about Luke.
Man, here's some stats from Joseph Fry Ward on Twitter. The Clippers have won the Luke Kennard minutes by plus 33 in these playoffs.
I mean, it's not necessarily because of Luke
Kennard.
Not
at all.
But
it's a fun stat.
It's also kind of surprising just because of him kind of in those closing minutes.
He's made 10 of his last 16 threes.
Which makes sense. I mean,
Shooting stays ready.
Yeah.
We love to see
it. He took one of the quickest trigger threes I've ever seen him take in that game.
It has to be. And that's what's so funny.
He might have caught the ball when he was already in the air.
Jumping to take the shot.
Yeah.
And that's been the issue with Kennard all season, is the indecisiveness.
Yeah.
We've talked about the pump fakes and stuff like that. That one three that he took, it was like every time.
Yeah.
Let that thing go, dude. Luke, you are there to shoot.
Yeah.
We all want you to shoot and score a bunch. Let it fly.
And man, put the ultimate faith in him. He could have thrown down a
very dunk, true.
Kicked out to Luke in the corner, and it paid off.
It absolutely did. There's still obviously some defensive situations. He gets hunted on games one and two when Mitchell wanted to score. Luke Kennard was out there late, and that was the switch that they were getting.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Ty Lue has done a good job of adjusting to that well.
Yes.
I'm kind of not, I guess, mismatching those minutes would be the way to say it. He's helping in other ways. Like, there's some grit to his defense. He's not afraid to dive for a loose ball. He's not afraid to kind of get a little more physical.
He is bringing the hustle, which, when you're not a net positive defender, if you can bring the hustle,
it helps.
It at least puts people in a better position
to
help
does.
You out and cover for you.
But no, like this is this playoffs for Luke. It's like it's unbelievable. It's based on how this regular season went. Only the most faithful Ohioites, Ohioans.
And you know, we'll kind of see, you know, what the rest of this playoffs holds for Luke Kennard. But you know, it might end up making a lot of sense that they didn't let him explore free agency.
Good call.
Wanted to kind of lock that up.
Yeah.
So
shooting's valuable.
We'll see what happens with that. I mean, because shooters do get paid.
It's so interesting because like Kawhi talked about, you know, like the difference between Dallas versus Utah. He's like, you know, it's a different series. We weren't really 100% sure what Mann and Kennard's minutes look like. And then you don't play Terrence Mann and it like kind of sucks and you play Mann more. And then Kennard, it was like, oh, if we just don't play him out there when he's truly just going to get switched on and destroyed in defense and he can do his thing and shoot, that works well. They haven't really changed that much.
Yeah.
We have the nine guys, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like, we have that figured out now.
Yeah. These things are fluid and they change, and, like, you have to stay ready to adapt.
And it's the funny, like, the thing with Kennard shooting, it's always going to be there.
Yes.
Shout out to Luke Kennard. Let's hope he keeps it up. Closing it out on this Monday episode that we might put out a little early on Sunday, who knows. The Los Angeles Clippers are now making Batum Battalion t-shirts.
Yes.
The movement has never been stronger.
Yes.
Clipper Spencer was at game three in a full-on
Batum Battalion regalia.
Regalia. Looked amazing. Shout out Clipper Spencer. Got the banner in there. Lily Batum saw it on Twitter. She was hyped on it. The Batum Battalion's the best thing to happen to Clippers fandom in a minute, is what it feels like.
Absolutely.
And I love it. We were so happy. Joseph R. Ward helped us turn this insane, like, kind of one-off idea into kind of a big Clippers movement. The Clippers are now making t-shirts about it. Honestly, the biggest thing I'm mad about, first of all, look, grand scheme of things, it doesn't really change my daily life.
Cool for Nick Batum.
Great for Nick Batum. Great for the fans. Maybe just give Yumi and Joseph a shout-out.
Hey, it'd be cool.
Yeah, just a tiny little, hey, thanks for this idea.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Also,
or just shout out the fans, because this was truly a fan
movement.
This is
a fan thing.
Like, thank you to everyone who listens to this podcast.
That's an even better point.
And tweeted and sent out, like, the Batum Battalion, who continue to believe in it, and, like, you know, got behind this player for his first year with a lot of questions.
Yes.
So I think just everyone out there, you all deserve a shout out. Like, that's what I want to see. Like,
it's a way better answer than what I just said.
It should have said, you know, this is fan made. Like, this came from the fans.
Yeah, from
because
the fans.
Truly, you all did this.
Absolutely. Also, design a better t-shirt.
Yeah, it could have been better.
Design a cooler. It's just a black and white picture of Nick Batum.
Yeah.
Just design a better t-shirt.
Luckily, he's got the exclusive, the very limited drop, so.
Dude, that's one of the more limited drops in all of limited drop history.
Maybe. Yeah.
Other than maybe the first Pigeon SB dunk. People are going crazy for this one. No, we love it. I mean, it's wild that this idea has turned into what it is.
Yeah, it's cool.
Also, little birdie perhaps may or may not have told us, but two might be sticking around for a bit.
Let's hope so.
Thursday's episode. Not Thursday. Tuesday. I'm just so hyped up on this game four. Recap of game four versus the Jazz. If you're going to the stadium, be loud.
Be loud. Be proud. Be Clippers.
Tell them to deal with it. Twitter Tuesday. So send those questions into @LockedOnClips. To answer a couple that we've already gotten sent to us, no, we're not getting royalties from the Batum Battalion t-shirt. No, they didn't let us know about it. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, which we hope isn't anything too crazy, the series is going at least 5 games.
Yeah.
Let's make this MF-er go 6.
Yes.
Why not?
Yeah, let's tie it up. Come on.
Let's tie it up, Clips. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Will, where can these people tell their extended family they haven't seen in a while and they ask them what they're really into and they say the Clippers, where could they tell them to listen to this podcast?
Your family can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Amazon Music. As always, you can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It works. It's great in the car, at the house, at your friend's house, really anywhere.
Make your friends listen to our podcast.
As we mentioned,
see how long you're still friends.
As we mentioned up top, we do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. We'd love to have your listen.
We absolutely would. What a run this is still continuing to be for the Clippers. We're going to tie this thing up. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.